So good morning, good morning. We're going to get started in just a moment.
Okay.
Waiting for one other person, and here he is.
Good morning.
Good morning, Daryl. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
So welcome, welcome. Welcome to the call, a brand new journey together. And so we're excited to have you here, and we also have Caroline on the line. And so what ended up happening is, you know, the offer was put out to many people. And so it was like I said, it was a moving target as far as dates and times and so forth. So this is our Thursday morning time, and we're holding space on other times too, nighttime. So other people that are working during the day, they couldn't do the morning time. So we ended up just having multiple groups, which is fine.
Oh, see.
So it's good. So we're so happy that you're here, and Caroline is here, and as the months progress, as we go through the program, you know, we fully expect other people to join us on this journey. And as it said in the you got my emails and the kit and all of that.
Yeah, I got the kit here. I've been working on it.
Good. So, you know, as I explained in the email, this is what's considered a rolling program. So it's like with Dream Builder, there's a start and there's a finish. You know, we start with week one, we go through. With Life Mastery, we're holding space. We're holding a space of growth, of opportunity, and people will come and go within that space. And so, and it's for 6 months at a time. And as we go through it, some people will come in at different points during the year, generally in the beginning of a month. And so we're all starting this, you know, everybody starts this journey together with that topic in that particular month. So this month, we are going to celebrate health. We're going to be in harmony with our authentic self, mastery in health. And we would normally start off just like, you know, we would in the Dream Building program, is we would summarize what we covered last week, which would be, you know, the end of, it would be the fourth week of intention, because the year starts out in January with intention. But we're starting a brand new month, brand new baby month, and so we are going to just jump right in. How was your week this week? Did you have do you have any wins you'd like to share?
In church Sunday, one of the brethren there, he spoke up and asked for prayers for his brother-in-law, who had found out that he has prostate cancer, and so he was asking for prayer. So I contacted him, I called him, and talked to him a little bit, and just, we've been friends and all, but he's ways away, so we don't see him very often. But anyway, we visited with him and told him my journey with the cancer and what all happened, and so he was very interested in what, you know, what it might do for him. And so he has a route where he puts out this mountain man, or whatever they are, snacks and different things. He delivers to stores in different places. And so he has a route to run about 20 miles from here. So he came on up to our place and spent an hour and a half going over, learning all about the machines and everything. And so he plans on getting a machine. He just went back to talk to his wife a little bit there, so I need to contact him again today and just see where we're at with it. But he has some test results coming up on the 12th, and so he was thinking of waiting a little bit till that, but I told him, you know, he really doesn't need to wait because he's going to get a machine anyway, so might as well get started.
Exactly. Wow, we celebrate that. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So the intention is, you know, is continuing the, you know, keying into that and being in service, being in ministry, you know. So good job. Good job with that. And it's, you know, it's really apropos because, you know, we're talking about health this month. This is the subject of this month, and it's our physical support system, right? And I was really meditating about it this week, you know, and we say, all right, well, you know, what does Jesus tell us? Where is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is within us, right? And so that means we're a temple. We're really a temple, our physical temple. And even though this physical body, this human part, you know, will be shed when we're done with it, but it's what we have right now. It's our physical support system. It's what carries us through through our lives. And so we really, you know, we want to focus on our health as part of one of the pillars that you know, gives us a full balanced life, you know, a life in mastery in all areas. So this month, it's the mastery of health and well-being. We're going to work towards an understanding of what it means to be more in alignment with the self, where our true sense of well-being originates, and then how we, you know, how to live more in harmony with that. And you know, I want to make a distinction. So this is health and well-being month. It's not health and well-doing month. And so the practice of being in a healthy alignment with your authentic self. So it's a state. Health is a state. It's not a doing. We do things. There's actions that we take, right? There's practices and eating well and habits that we have to ensure good health, but it's a state of being in alignment with our true authentic self. Of course, we all have heard of Napoleon Hill, and he wrote that pivotal book called Think and Grow Rich. And so in the early 1900s, Andrew Carnegie commissioned Napoleon Hill to study successful people, to identify those core principles of what makes a person successful. And he was initially looking at patterns of success in the areas of, you know, finance and material success. You know, Think and Grow Rich, and we think of just material success. But over time, you know, what he discovered was, you know, the 17 components of wealth, the number one component of wealth that, you know, was across the board, hundreds and hundreds of people interviewed who lived lives that most of us were say, extremely financially successful, they would say that the number one attribute of health is peace of mind. And the number two attribute was physical vitality. So that's interesting, right? Taking care of our physical, you know, our physical body, our physical being. So peace of mind and physical vitality. So, you know, so what does the Bible say? We're made up of spirit, soul, and body, right? So soul could be equated to mind. So we have our, you know, body, mind, spirit, as we say in modern terms. So the spirit, our spirit is taken care of, right? We're taken care of by God, by Jesus. But now peace of mind, number one, that Napoleon Hill found, and physical vitality, the body. So body and mind is what we're focusing on here. And it doesn't matter how much money you have or how many things you have or how many opportunities you have. If you don't have peace of mind and a body temple to which, you know, with which to experience our opportunities, our life will be muted. And we see that because and that's what we teach through Enagic as well, right? It's all about balance. We have to have that balance, you know, because I know so many people that made millions of dollars, but, you know, they alienated their family along the way. Or are they successful? Are they in balance? No. Or they made a ton of money and, you know, they squandered their health. They didn't pay attention to their physical support system. So recognizing dis-ease. So right in that word, in disease, is dis-ease, out of ease, out of harmony. You know, so dis-ease comes from being out of harmony with your life force. And again, it's that power breathing us. God, life, is breathing us. And so that's our life force. Enough emotional dis-ease, so now we're talking about mind here, enough emotional dis-ease will pattern in the physical system as physical dis-ease. So, you know, and the same thing too, if we go, you know, even deeper, if we go to spiritual disease, will lead to mental disease, will lead to physical disease, body, mind, and spirit, we're connected. And that our physical system bears witness to what's going on in our internal system, which is our soulful place. So just like, you know, we talk about in dream building, it's like we live in an inside-out world. And I was reading, you know, reading scripture this morning, and it was interesting. And, you know, and I have a study Bible, so it's interesting that, you know, we talk about the mind, but then we can also, just like we have, you know, our self-conscious mind and our subconscious mind, they were making a distinction between our mind and our spiritual mind. And so, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so the spiritual mind is in the Bible is seated in the heart, which I thought was interesting, because we think of in modern times as our mind is our, you know, in our brain, it's our mind, it's you know, it's logic, it's all that. But our spiritual heart is seated, our spiritual mind is seated in the heart. So as a man thinketh in his heart. So now that scripture makes a lot more sense, because you're like, well, we think in our brains. What are you talking about? It's in our head. No, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so it's our spiritual heart, it's our true sense, you know. And just like we learned in dream building, we live in an inside-out universe. And the same thing here is that our physical system is reflected. It bears witness to what's going on in that internal system, in our soulful place. And so we need to learn to be in harmony with our authentic self. So well-being comes from being in harmony with that self, with that authentic self. So you want to increase your sense of well-being and peace of mind. Well-being by being in alliance with yourself so that you feel good in your own skin. You feel good about being yourself. And again, how do you feel mentally about yourself? How do you feel emotionally about yourself? How do you feel physically about yourself? You know, there's a lot of us, I mean, everybody here on this call and a lot of people we know, it's like, you know, what is our body image? Are we happy with our body image? Or are we, you know, like Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree, you know, of knowledge of good and evil, what happened was then they became self-aware of their nakedness, and so they covered up. And so what is that body image? You know, I mean, some people, you know, they take really good care of their bodies and they're proud of their bodies. And other people, it's like, oh, you know, let's cover that up. But I'm not saying to expose yourself, but I'm just saying, what is your own self-image? Because people don't even look at themselves in the mirror sometimes because they don't want to see the reflection, their own self-image. And so, well, the true sense of well-being comes from being in harmony with that authentic self. You know, again, increase your sense of well-being and peace of mind. Well-being and peace, you know, is being in alliance with yourself so that you feel good in your own skin. You feel good about being yourself. Well-being is not based, you know, on your body being a certain size or shape. So the other thing, too, is, you know, so saying like, okay, am I ashamed of my body or my body image? Or no matter what that image is, do I still love myself? You know, and a lot of times, especially now in the media and what's going on, it's like, you know, with models and, you know, with advertising, they're holding a certain ideal or a certain standard, quote unquote, that's just not realistic. And so then it causes causes people to then compare themselves, and they become out of harmony with who they are. And so, you know, you are not, you know, it's the same thing. You're not your past. You're not your history. You're not your possessions. You're not your education. You know, you're not your body, because your authentic self is much deeper than that, much bigger than that. You know, it's about being in harmony with you, because you doesn't gauge itself by the number on the scale, you know, by the size of the clothes that you wear, you know. It's how you view yourself, how you see yourself. And, you know, and again, it's like, you know, beauty is only skin deep. And how, so it's interesting to me, like, you know, some people that are, like, if we look at them, they just look stunning. They're just gorgeous. And yet they see themselves completely differently, right? And then it leads to disorders and dis-ease of their own minds and eating disorders or, the, you know, all kinds of things, hurting themselves or just putting themselves down. you know, we look at them and we're just like, wow, you know, they're just stunning. In all aspects, you know, physically, they're stunning. And then other times you see people that, you know, by society standards are not the prettiest people, right? But yet they have this self-love and they emanate that self-love. And we see that and we feel that. And so they become, you know, in society standards, in our, in the, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? We see that beauty come through. And so that's reflected, and that comes from within them. It all comes from within them. So, you know, your well-being gauges itself with how much you're in harmony with your authentic self. So it all comes back to, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, in all aspects. And so, you know, it's how you view yourself. It's not just, it's not what's in the mirror. It's not what size clothes you wear. And so let's talk about working with desire and expectation. Actually, hold on. Did I get out of order here? No, I'm in the right order. So working with desire and expectation. So desire and expectation create the polarity that causes attraction, right? And they are the essence of the law of attraction. Desire has a positive charge. Expectation has a negative charge, like a battery. You know, it's not good or bad. Expectation's not good or bad, it's a charge, right? It's not good or bad. We need both charges to achieve our desired outcome.
Could I share a little experience here that on this other part before I'm not in tune with you right now because I'm still thinking about it.
Please do.
Experience that I had in my youth that really made a difference in that very thing you was talking about our self image and that we had a neighbor boy that was, well, we all thought of him as being one of the most popular boys in school and very talented and he had it made, and he took his own life. And when as near as they could tell, is just he himself had such a poor image of thought of himself that he actually took his own life. I'll tell you, that really hit us hard. Mm-hmm. But it made me think that, you know, that is important what you're talking about there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, that always hits me hard. You know, like, you know, we see that in society, right? We see people that we see, and it's like, yeah, he's got it made or she's got it made. You know, we see it in people in entertainment, in sports. We see that in business. We see it in different arenas of life. And then you find out, you know, later on they took their life. You know, It doesn't make sense from the outside, because like from us looking in, it's like, well, they have everything going on. You know, if I had what they had, I'd be like, you know, it'd be like, you know, so grateful and just like, you know, it would add so much, you know, so much to my life. But then, you know, you start hearing the stories, and they were, you know, whatever the story was, you know, there was a disease, there was something out of balance there. And just because they had the success doesn't mean it shifts that inside. And you see that, we see that all the time, right? So it's really, you know, it's like somebody wins the lottery. All right, they've been living, let's say they're making $30,000, $50,000 a year, and all of a sudden they win the lottery and they make millions of dollars. Well, their internal system, what's going on inside them, is not in alignment with that. And statistics show within 2 years, short period of time, not only is that fortune just gone, but they end up almost worse than before they started, because they hit that upper limit. You know, Gay Hendricks is a coach, and he writes about, you know, this upper limit problem. So we're bumping up against our own self-image. And it's the same thing, like you say, Daryl. It's like, you know, this kid had it made. You see everything, and all of a sudden, you know, it just strikes you hard when they take their life. So you realize
and we can outperform our own self-image, right?
Our own self-esteem, our own self-image. We can outperform that. So, and those are the paradigms. That those are layers. That's something that he learned. Not to blame anybody, but it's something that, that he learned. And I think that's part the big part of our journey here is like, you know, life ends up layering stuff on us like an onion, the layers of onion, over our authentic self. And it's our relationship with God that reveals our authentic self and helps to shed those layers that are not ours, you know, to help take those things off. It's interesting because like in Ayurvedic medicine, which is the medicine of India, the basis of their medicine from, you know, I'm not an expert, but from what I understand is they try to go back to your original essence. You know, it's like because everybody is born with a certain set of cards, let's say, or a certain grouping of anointings. So what is that your authentic self in your health? Because some people, depending, you know, how they do their diagnostics, they said, all right, some people tend to be, you know, warm and wet, or, you know, they tend to be dry, or, you know, so they put terms to it. And then if you stay in alignment with that, if you eat the foods that help with that and do the right things in your life, then you will prosper. You will be, you know, well, you will prosper in your well-being. It's when we get out of harmony with that is when we start to put on the weight, or we start to have breakouts on our skin, or we start to develop physical disease in different parts of our bodies. And so it's interesting. So Ayurveda is that discovery process of finding out what is that true, you know, what were your, I'm trying to remember the word, it'll come to me. You know, it's what were you born with? What is your, you know, and I think there's three or four main categories. It's almost like blood types, you know. So what is that main category? And then that will inform what characteristics will help better support you. You know, just like our body type. Some people are tall and thinner and they have a leaner muscle structure, and some people are shorter and they tend to be, you know, broad or have a bigger muscle structure. So it's like, but going into your energetic essence, what is that, your authentic self and that energy? And let's feed into that energy or give that energy what it needs to thrive and be in balance as opposed to being out of balance, right? So like in modern terms, like, well, if my essence doesn't, you know, it retains water, let's say, then salt maybe is not going to support that. And if I do eat too many salty things, then I'm going to put on more water, which is, and then I'm going to put on more weight. And then maybe it's muting my fire, you know, or something of the sort. So, you know, it all really comes down to is our authentic self, being in harmony with our authentic self. So, you know, thank you for sharing that. And it always hits home. Because, I mean, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, I know there's hard times. We go through those, you know, dark nights of the soul where we consider it's like, well, maybe we shouldn't be here, or maybe we should end this, this journey. Maybe we should just hit the reset button at that level and start over again. And that's never the answer. Never the answer. So that really, it really hits hard. So the, you know, the three steps or three main categories here we're talking about. So recognizing disease, you know, being out of harmony, being in harmony with the authentic self. So that helps you put you in harmony, and then working with desire and expectation. And so, you know, so desire and expectation, they create their own polarity that causes attraction, and they have their own charges. And again, they're not bad or good. You know, we tend to put bad or good onto things. It's like, you know, and some people say, oh, you know, chocolate's bad. Well, some people like chocolate. If you eat a pound of chocolate, that's bad, right? So it's a matter of scale. Or, you know, we put a label on it. Is it bad or good? So, you know, polarity. So here's the thing, because we talk about the law of attraction. So when you talk about magnets, we say, all right, now magnets, opposites attract, right? So you have a negative ion, a positive ion, and they attract. And so when we talk about vibration in the invisible law of the law of attraction, then like attracts like. And so like builds on like. And so it's like if you, and studies show, even with health, it's like if you give kids salads, kids are going to crave more salad. So whatever you give your body, it's going to crave more of. You eat a lot of sugar, then your body's going to crave more sugar. So it's a like attracts like. But with desire and expectation is they're on opposite ends. So desire has a positive charge, expectation has a negative charge, like a battery. Not good or bad, it's just saying positive, negative. But we need both charges to achieve our desired outcome. You know, we want to learn to work with both of these energies this month in order to move up an entire octave in our relationship with our sense of well-being. This will have a positive effect on the level of well-being in every aspect of your life, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and creative expression. So desire and expectation. So, you know, there's a story. There's two young boys that lived in a village where there was an incredibly wise man. And everyone went to this wise man, and he was the most revered and honored man in the entire village. And these two young boys were 13, and as 13-year-olds will do, they often thought they knew more than anyone else. And they were wondering, how come everybody pays, you know, so much attention to the wise man? You know, he just can't be that wise. You know, as 13-year-olds. I have a daughter who's turning 13 next month, or next week, actually. But she actually is quite wise, and I don't think she would fit into the story, but she could be clever sometimes. So, you know, these boys are thinking, he can't just be that way, you know. So they had an idea about how it was they can show the entire village that they were actually wiser than the wise man. So one of them concocts a plan. So you imagine these two kids putting their heads together. They can concoct a plan. And says, one of them says to the other, so here's what we're going to do. We'll schedule an appointment with the wise man. And as it's done in the village, everyone comes to hear what the wise man says. So it's like this public meeting, all right? Because whether it's one person's question or another, everyone knows that when the wise man speaks, everyone learns something. So they schedule an appointment, and the whole village is to attend this appointment. Then the one says to the other, here's what we'll do. After we get the appointment, we'll go out and we'll capture a live bird. I will hold the live bird in my hand behind my back. Then we will say to the wise man, wise man, is the bird we're holding alive or dead? And if the wise man says, the bird you're holding is alive, I'll quickly crush the life out of it, out of the bird, and I'll present the dead bird to him. And said, you know, and we'll show him that he's wrong. And however, if the wise man says the bird is dead, then I will present the live bird, and again, we'll show the wise man was wrong. So they get their appointment, they capture a live bird, the whole village is gathered, the boys walk up to the wise man, one with his hands behind his back, you know, looking at the wise man, they say, wise man, is the bird we're holding alive or dead? And the wise man, being a truly, truly a wise man, looks at the young boys and he says, the life you are holding is in your hands. So he's really wise, right? So every one of us has been entrusted to a human birth. We've been entrusted with this life energy, and once we've been given the gift of life, the life we now lead is in our hands. It's our life that we hold. So do we want to crush it out, or do we want to, you know, flourish it? You know, we've been given capacities. We've been given opportunities and time. So the life we lead is in our hands. So it's a powerful point, right? We make decisions for our own life. It's our own physical temple. It's our own physical support system. And so we make choices. And that's why we see a lot of dis-ease and people out of balance. And that's why we try to help them, especially with Kangen Water and the Enagic products, because we want to help them go back into balance. Because the life they hold in their hands is theirs. It's theirs. And so how can we do that? Well, I mean, this is a really good teaching for everybody, especially in our businesses. You know, making one new healthy choice a day. Because oftentimes it's like people say, all right, I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to go on a keto diet. I'm going to be vegan. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And I'm the same way. Caroline and I are the same way. It's like sometimes we just jump in. But to make drastic changes is very hard to maintain. And so just make one new healthy choice a day. So one of the core practices this month is making just one new healthy choice a day. Baby steps, little baby steps, will take you all the way up to Mount Everest. You know, some of these choices will begin to create a new pattern in you because your nervous system is wired so that when you do right, you feel right. And that speaks to the studies that show if we eat more salad, we want more salad. Our body, you know, if we eat more sugar, then we're going to crave more sugar. So it goes back to that apple a day, right? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. So the number one wealth is that you feel good about yourself. Number one. We're looking at full spectrum wealth, right? So the number one is you got to feel good about yourself. And when you're making one new healthy choice a day, you start to really feel good about yourself. You make those little changes. And this actually creates an upward momentum of choice making. So this is a great teaching for, you know, for our families, for our clients, for our customers, for our children, for our grandchildren, you know, for as we ripple out. And for all of us too. Because I tend to be a night owl, so I end up staying up late. And if I stay up late, then I end up sleeping in late. And if I end up sleeping in late, then the day starts late, and then it just snowballs, you know. Or I still have to get up at a certain time, and then I'm just tired. And then if I'm, like the other day, you know, I was hungry, and I went to the supermarket, you know, was buying some groceries and stuff. But then, I saw the shelf of chips. I'm like, I'm hungry. Let me just grab some chips. And so I'm eating potato chips, and I don't eat that potato chips that often. But I'm eating, I'm going along and this and that. Well, the next day, which was yesterday, I felt like crap. I really felt bad. And I'm like, what did I eat yesterday? I thought maybe it was, you know, the tomato soup or whatever. And then Caroline reminded me, well, you ate those chips. I'm like, duh. Of course I feel like, my body's like a Ferrari, and I'm putting in, you know, crap. You know, garbage gasoline into it. No wonder it's not running well here. So starting your day at night, which is interesting because I just read this the other day and then, you know, went back and really meditated on it. In Genesis 1, where Moses is describing how God created heaven and earth. And by the fourth day, he starts getting into the physical creation of earth and all of that. But he always ends, he says, there was evening and then morning on the fourth day, let's say. And he saw that it was good. He doesn't say it was the morning and then evening. So we're thinking like day, morning, and evening. But actually, in Genesis, if you look at it, it says there was evening and then morning. And then the day was over. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And there's a pastor named Dr. Cindy Trim. And she says that Caroline, help me with the word. How do you command your morning?
Yes, you command your morning.
Command your morning. You start the night before. And so I thought that was really powerful because you're setting intentions. Like we talk about setting intentions. Set the intention the night before to command your morning. So it's, even in the Bible, it says, you know, evening and then day. So I thought that was really interesting. So starting your day at night. So to rest, renew, restore, release, refocus, because that's what our physical body does, our mental body does, is we rest, we renew, we restore, we release, we refocus. You know, our hormones are rebuilt. Our cells are rebuilt, our tissues are rebuilt, our minds are, you know, emptied out. So your day begins as you go to bed. That's when your day begins. So it's really interesting. You know, and so part of that practice is we give thanks for every day, thanks for your day every night. So give thanks for your day every night, even when your day wasn't necessarily to your liking. You know, again, we label it good and bad, but, you know, God has a bigger plan here. It's only when you're challenged that you're growing. So you might define it as, oh, this was a bad day, this was a hard day. But if it was a challenging day, that means we're growing. And we need our sleep. I mean, I know, you know, I know that firsthand. We need our sleep. And so if we're going to bed too late and you got to get up at the same time, you're not getting any sleep. And so we need that sleep. Sleep is restorative on many levels, you know. So let's set the intention for the next day as you go to sleep. And let the law of attraction go to work. Set that intention and let the law of attraction go, you know, start to work there. So, you know, we've heard, going through Dream Builder, we heard Mary's story. You know, after Mary had her first child when she was 17, she was diagnosed with fatal kidney disease. And she'd been, you know, feeling a lot of shame around getting pregnant so young. You know, she was told by the doctor, she was told that she had maybe 6 months to live. Can you imagine, a 17-year-old? You have a six-month-old, you know, 17-year-old has a six-month-old baby at home, and now you're told you're going to die in 6 months. So the night before the surgery, a chaplain came into her hospital room to pray. And the chaplain talked to Mary for a while before they prayed, you know, because she comes in, and it wasn't anything like prayer that Mary had heard before. The woman was just speaking with her. And she told Mary something very important. She said, you know, the chaplain pointed out how much Mary loved her little boy, but also she pointed out, you know, notice what you're noticing, but notice she also pointed out how much shame she had been carrying around that. You know, then Mary was told that everything is created twice, first as a thought and then as a thing. And the chaplain told her how there was a connection between the toxic energy she was holding on to and the toxicity in her kidney. And the chaplain suggested that if Mary could energetically, so using her imagination, energetically put all the shame and toxic energy into the kidney that was being removed the next day, that she could be healed. Because she first, you know, as Mary tells the story, she first said, you know, can you have just a corner of your mind to believe that you can get rid of this disease? And in Mary's, you know, she just couldn't believe that, because her idol, her stronger idol at the moment, was the person with the MD after their name. They said, no, you know, the doctor said, I'm going to die in 6 months. I have this disease. She said, okay, well, then she shifted focus and said, okay, well, do you believe, is there any, just even a little bit of belief, the corner of your mind, that we can take these toxins that are flowing through your body and put them all into that one kidney that's going to be removed in the morning, and that your body will be clean, it will be free of this? She said, okay, I can believe that. I can believe that you believe this. A corner of my mind, I do believe this. And so she did that. And, you know, and Mary's still alive. I mean, the story, you know, goes on from there. And she said that was really an important first lesson for her, that we have direct control. We have direct input into our physical or mental or emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being. And so, you know, listening to the still small voice, listening to that guidance, that's your voice for well-being on all levels. It's our guidance system. So you can't make a healthy choice for yourself if you don't pay attention to that part of you that's in touch with that small, still voice, still small voice. So we have to pay attention. And, you know, when we practice more and more to be in alignment with, or in alliance with that voice, you know, that's our guiding. It's guiding us to our greater good, guides us to at least one new healthy choice a day. There's a new kind of aliveness. So let's set that intention. Let's set the intention. You know, Lord, help me make better health choices. What can I do to be in better alignment, better in alliance, you know, alliance with my authentic self, and let the Lord speak? I mean, yesterday, you know, Caroline reminded me, well, you know, potato chips are not in alignment with your authentic self, you know, and neither is sugar. You know, eating too much sugar, it throws me off. You know, and some people it could be wheat. Some people it could be, you know, too much animal protein. You know, and then on my health journey, I've talked to a lot of practitioners and studied a lot. And we have these things like, you know, like if somebody was intolerant to milk, lactose intolerant, or they were celiac and intolerant to wheat, you'd know that right away. They know it right away. They get this immediate reaction. But a lot of us are intolerant to a lot of things that are common in our diets that we're intolerant to but not necessarily allergic to or have a big, big, overt reaction to. And so we end up with these low levels of inflammation. And those are harder to find. Because sometimes, let's say you eat something, and by the time it's digested and assimilated, that reaction might not happen for 3 days. And so it's hard to put your finger on, you know, cause and effect. And so if we learn to lean into our intuition, lean into that still small voice, and say, okay, what is it here that may be throwing me or is throwing me out of balance? What is a better healthy choice that I can make? And see what comes up, you know? So the life work this week is we're living a vision-driven life. So we're visioning every aspect. So, you know, in dream building, we went 3 years out, we built a vision, and we're taking action steps to move toward that vision. But we're going to do that in all aspects. So this month is health. So we're looking at what is that picture of health? What is that vision of health for each one of us? So we're going to create, you're going to create your personal vision for radiant health and well-being. And we're going to make one new conscious choice for health and well-being each day. You know, it doesn't have to be just dietary. It could be something physical, you know. And I know, Daryl, you're very, you know, conscious of that. I wish I had half your energy. And we're going to be coming out and visiting at some point, and you're going to take us up on these mountains, and I better get my lungs in order to get my physical well-being, you know, in alignment with my authentic self, to get my core strong, to get my lungs strong. You know, one of our practices, and it sort of falls a little bit by the wayside in the colder weather in the winter when the weather's bad outside, is, you know, I used to walk every single day. You know, walk 40 minutes, 45 minutes every single day at a very fast pace.
Walk and pray.
Walk, pray, and then use it as a walking classroom. You know, put the headset on and get some words of wisdom. But like I said, you know, I'm usually very, very consistent with that. But then, you know, the weather gets bad, it gets cold, there's snow, there's rain, and then you start to lose that habit, that pattern. And then my body, you know, and I'm a stretcher. I've always been a stretcher since I was a kid. And if I don't stretch regularly, and sometimes that falls by the wayside, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not sleeping well because my body's not comfortable. So we're all committed. We're also going to make one healthy choice a day, you know, whether it's deciding to eat an extra serving of fresh fruits and vegetables every day, or drinking an extra glass or two of Kangen water every single day, or spending an extra 15, 20, 30 minutes of an exercise, being in nature, hiking and running or whatever, working out every single day. So
yeah, one of my top goals, 50 goals I was supposed to write down, is what I wrote down. One of my top 50 goals was take Carl across the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
Oh, I love it.
I receive that blessing. I do.
Yes.
To glorify the King. I really do. And I want to do that. I better start doing some rock climbing or really start, you know, getting my lungs straight, because I know it's going to be tough to keep
up. It's going to happen soon.
It's going to happen soon. Wow. Yeah, I would absolutely love that. And
you and your wife hike together, Daryl?
We do some. She doesn't do a lot with me because, you know, she had a hip replacement and seen she had broke her leg when we was just a few months married. She had a bicycle accident and broke her leg, the neck of the femur and the mid-shaft of a femur, and so she had a lot of surgeries, and finally ended up later on, several years later, having to have a new hip and things, and so she can't do, you know, as much. See, we hike together, but it's slow, and so most of the time
okay,
when
she's doing it.
I'm going too fast.
So,
yeah.
So she transports us around.
That's great. Well, at least she's active and she's doing it, and she does what she can. And that's amazing.
We have a national monument here with some really, really beautiful rock formations and things here. Just one canyon that's different than all the rest here, and just balanced rock, huge balanced rocks. I mean,
wow.
Hundreds of thousands of tons balanced on like an 18-inch spot, you know, and
wow.
Things like that. And so we hiked together up in there. That's take some of the trails that aren't real steep,
and
then we can hike together.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait to see it. Carl, we have to add that to our vision.
Yeah, we are. You know, I'm going to add that to my, it's going
to
be on my vision.
I really
look
forward
to
meeting you guys, Daryl.
How far drive is it for you to the canyon? I think you told me one time.
Well, to the south rim, it's about 6.5 hours, and to the north rim, it's 8.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But then just to drive around from the south to the north is 4 hours drive.
when she
drops us off, like in the morning, we're going to hike from the north rim across to the south, like we do every fall. Well, then her and the other ladies or whatever, they drive around. It takes them 4 hours to drive around to the south rim where we come up.
And then how long does it take you to hike that across?
Well, anywhere from 10.5 to 12.5 hours, something like that, depending on who's along and how fast we're going.
Yeah.
When my granddaughter went, we took 12.5 hours, and when my grandson went and some of the others, we only took 10.5 hours. So.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is amazing. And that, so just to explain to Caroline, so you had told, well, he had first put it in his vision, it was 3R. I said, what does that mean, 3R? And so is that the 3R?
No, that's just in the fall when we go across one way.
That's just one way, okay.
Yeah, we go the last week of September, if that's the best time to go, that's what you need to put in on your calendar, is the last week of September every year we hike across from the north to the south, and then that's when the aspens are their peak color on the north rim, and
wow.
It's just gorgeous up there with all the blue spruce and the aspen and the three kinds of pines, the three kinds of firs, and this one area, some maples and all, and it's just really a really beautiful.
Must be magnificent.
Yeah, it is.
Like that. Yeah.
We go up and then we hike across from one rim to the other, and that's when my wife will drive around from one rim to the other. But then, like now, we was just getting ready to go next week, but now it's changed to April the 19th. We're going to hike across with this here new healer man, this Persian man.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to join us, and then this other Jesse Minuta is one I was telling you about, has been out visiting, and we've been hiking, doing a lot of hiking together, and he hiked with me the Grand Canyon. We tried to do a triple rim or a 3R, which is with him before, but we wasn't able to make it because the ladies that were along, they weren't able to do it, but now he's going to come fly out. He's up back in California on the organic farm there, and working, and he's going to fly out the 18th. I'll pick him up in Phoenix, and then the 19th we'll hike, do a triple rim, where we'll hike from the south rim across the canyon to the north and come back the same day, and then probably take him back the 20th to fly back, but I have well, him and Farshad want to do that one with me this time, and I don't know. Usually my grandson has been doing it if he can work it in. I haven't even talked to him now yet about it, but see whether he'll go with me because he's went 5 times now with me.
Wow.
But that one takes 18 and a half hours. We start at about 1:30 in the morning and full moon, and then we hike across and get back before sundown. We'll get back up about 18 and a half hours.
Wow.
That's 42 miles. Well, this time we want to do a 47 mile. We actually want to go across on the Kaibab one way, and then coming back, we'll come up Bright Angel Trail on the south rim, which is instead of 6 and some miles, it's 10 and a half, about 10.4 miles, and so that'll make 47 mile hike for us. And when I have with my great nephew there, we have done the 50 miler. We started in Bright Angel and went across and back up. That was a 50 mile hike that day. We also did that one in 18 and a half hours, but we ran to the bottom on the south side, so we was down in 2 hours at 10.4 miles.
Oh, wow. That's moving.
Wow.
Yeah. But you had gravity on your side at that point. Right?
Yeah, right.
So you're working with that invisible law in the right way, because you wouldn't be able to do that going up.
No. It gets down to 1.5 mile an hour there. That's instead of 5 mile an hour, we're getting down to 1.5. Sometimes it gets really steep, really a challenge. And so that's where I end up. A lot of times I've in the past pushing my son-in-law or my granddaughter or different ones, literally pushing them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so on those long hikes together, so you must have some really special moments. So I can imagine there's probably moments of silence, and then, you know, and there's moments of conversation.
There's, you know, one most special was when the granddaughter and I were coming up. We was up almost not far from halfway up to Indian Gardens there. It was almost to Indian Gardens coming along the stream, and we started singing, and she loves to sing, and well, their whole family have memorized lots and lots and lots of songs, and so we sing together a lot, and we started singing that song. I don't know why the angels listen. I don't know why the sky is blue. I don't know how God paints a rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
And just then when we were singing that, for some reason we stopped and we turned around, and across the canyon was this beautiful rainbow.
Wow.
It's just right across.
Oh,
that's one experience, one moment that neither one of us will ever forget. I mean, that
wow.
It was so awesome, and we often remind ourselves of that, each other of it. We'll start singing or whatever.
And
it was just so beautiful and so awesome.
Wow.
And then
being
the part of, you know,
harmony,
we don't
right?
know why God does all this, but it,
yeah.
we know that He is real, and we know that He's done it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then, you know, you set that intention, and then it was just there. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
To be in harmony with God. That was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, so
I had another experience just saying something that happened this last week that happened yesterday that I had to share. That
please do.
There was part of what we've learned in our dream building here course that I've always, you know, I come up with this. These people say, well, I don't have the money. You know, there's just no way that I can buy it because this single lady, you know, or mom or whatever, and they're only making so much, I want one of those machines, but I can't afford it. And I always try to tell them, well, no, you know, there is a way. And I've always been able to tell them that, well, you know, so far there hasn't been anybody that we haven't been able to help. I said, even one lady that was, didn't even make welfare and raising her grandchildren and all. Well, yesterday the lady, when I told her that, she says, well, how'd she get her machine then? I said, well, it turned out that I had a brother-in-law that had so much compassion, he bought her one. and so I said, you know, there's always a way. I've been others that were, we found another way. They found some way to get the money. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, you're saying that, you know, you just, there's no way. Well, she said first that she had tried the water, and it made her indigestion. It gave her indigestion, and she tried the water, and so her friend brought her over there again yesterday, and she says she just knows that there's got to be some way that, you know, that it could help you, and she said, but I'm afraid to even try it, and so I explained to her what happened is that she was detoxing too fast, and she was getting these symptoms that, you know, and she just needed to go a lot slower. So we needed to start with her with, you know, mixing even some other water with just a little bit of it to start with. And she agreed with that. But then says, I can see it would really help, but I don't have the money. I mean, there's just no way that I could ever afford it. And I said, okay, I said, I want you to stop and just change that completely, that attitude. Let's put into your mind that there is a way that you can find a way that get, because there isn't any problem or any challenge that doesn't have an answer. It says God, the infinite, has all the answers. He knows what it is. All we have to do is get in tune. And I says, if you will join me, I says, I'm going to be a partner in belief with you. And I says, well, we're going to believe that there is an answer, there is a way that you can get some money. We don't know where it's going to come from or how, but we believe that there is an answer. And it may be your friend here that's brought you, or maybe she'll have the answer. Maybe she'll know how that you can get the money. Maybe you'll think of something you can sell or something. We don't know what it'll be. But we're going to believe that there is a way that you can get the answer. You can get the money to buy one of these machines. And so she says, okay. She says, okay, I'll do it.
Wow. That's awesome.
I said, wow, I got a new way. She said, so now, she said, but I don't know, I don't want to buy the machine not knowing if it'll actually work, because it didn't work. I said, well, I'll loan you a machine. I'll give you a loaner, and you can try it for 30 days and see whether or not it works. And if it doesn't, well, then we know. But I says, I'm sure that there's going to be a way there also. So she was just all thrilled. She said, he's going to loan me a machine, and I'm going to find out. And says, and there's going to be a way. There's going to be a way we can get the money.
So, wow, you created a corner of belief in her mind. And that's powerful right there.
That's powerful.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, is like, well, the water actually did work, you know, just because she had the symptoms. But that means the water
did work. Working.
It had an effect. It's just like,
I hadn't thought
labeled
of that.
It, right? Labeled it bad or good, but it had an effect of starting the cleaning process of her body. And it just, okay, it made her uncomfortable. And like you said, maybe it just went a little too fast, too soon. And you said, you know, mix it with other waters, mix it with 7-0, and start that process slower. But the water did work, actually.
Daryl, our doctor, Dr. Nate, the cardiologist, I don't know if Carl has told you about him, but he's amazing. He's an integrative cardiologist, and he's a big, huge part of our team. And when patients will say to him, well, you know, I felt this, and I had a headache, and I felt, you know, indigestion, he... first thing he says is, great, that's amazing. That means the water's working. And then he goes on to explain a little bit about, you know, the toxins coming out, and it's a detox.
Right. a healing crisis.
That's the first thing he says is, great, that's fabulous. And they're like, what do you mean? And then that completely changes the perception. Like, okay, now this is a good thing. The toxins are coming out and staying instead of staying in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So just changing
the label, right?
Exactly.
It's not good or bad. It's just you put a different label on it.
Yeah.
But that's so amazing that you did that. You know, you had her say, all right, let's just hold the possibility. Because, you know, we serve an unlimited God. Hold that possibility. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
because
too.
Because that
ripple
just, that makes the energy move, right?
Yeah.
I'm so thankful I learned that. I mean,
we are too.
The training so far has been worth that right there.
That's right.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And then sometimes people will get wobbly again, like we all do. You know, and the doubt may or fear may or anxiety may creep
paradigms.
In.
Yeah.
Paradigms. You say, no, we're gonna just hold that space. We're gonna believe. We're going to hold faith that it is possible. And like you said, it was brilliant the way you said it. It's like, who knows? Maybe your friend will help you or this. We don't know where
God
it's going to
happen. God shows up. We don't know
God,
how. But he does the
how,
right?
But we just hold that. We hold that space. We make that miracle welcome. We make it welcome. So good job on that. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So that's good. So that's a powerful way around, because everybody's got that money paradigm. I don't have the money. We're going to hold that. It's possible. The money will come from somewhere.
Yeah. It always does.
Beautiful.
I've been able to tell them that, you know, there's always been a way, but that still doesn't convince them.
Right.
Because it's been for someone else. But whenever I was able to say, well, okay, let's put it into a different perspective here. Let's look at it that there is a way, and we don't know how, but there is a way.
Right.
There is a way, right?
What if it was possible, and what if it was easy?
Yeah, what if it were possible, what if it were easy? And it's the same thing. You can use the analogy. It's like, well, let's say there was a marina, right, and you have a little tiny rowboat next to a big yacht, right? Well, the high tide raises both boats. As the tides go up and down, the boats go up and down. So if it's possible for one, it's possible for all. And so that's why, you know, you tell the story, well, you know, this woman, you know, somebody came and they helped her. And they helped her get a machine. Well, I don't have a person like that. But we know that possibility exists, so we're going to hold space for that. So we're going to remain in faith with that. So that's good. And that's gonna help her, not just with this. It's gonna help her whole life, with other things. What if it were easy? What if it is possible? I know it's possible. I love that. So good job. So next week we're gonna meet the same time. We're going into week two. So you know, listen to the meditation for week two every single day, and then do the life work and the exercises in the book, and we'll continue. We'll continue the journey.
I don't know if all of them are going to be like this from week two, but my wife isn't going to be able to listen to them.
I know. I realized that the other day when I was listening to it because of the music in the background. I realized that.
Yeah, she tried, but she said no, she can't handle it. She had to get out of the room.
Yeah. So you may be challenging me here. I may have to go back and start recording and get ahead of the curve here, you know. Now,
yeah,
I don't know why
she didn't have that on all that other, you know, the other whole set, you know, but.
Yeah, I think the difference here is the other ones were more of a teaching.
Uh-huh.
This is a meditation. And so when she's in meditation mode, you know, you have the soothing music and you're getting into a state and then meditating on, you know, on the topic. And so I think that's the, just like the meditations for Dream Builder also had the music. So it's like, you know, being quiet and serenity. But let me just look at one thing real fast, because I was thinking about that yesterday. Let me just pull it up real fast here. Yes, it is. It is. Is it is in there? I just wanted to be sure. The transcript for the meditation is in there. Okay, so it just so that just the words in written form of what she's saying in the meditation. So here's here's my invitation to the both of you. Is read the meditation to each other. So maybe one time you read it to her, the other time she reads it to you, you know.
Carl and I do that together.
Yeah, and then that way, you know, I mean, it's good to hear Mary's voice with the music and stuff, but I know your wife can't tolerate that. So maybe that's a way to do it together. Is
where do you find that? Where is that?
Okay, it's not, I don't think it's part of the physical kit, but if you log into the online portal, the same way you did before, I sent you the welcome email for the Life Mastery. You had a reminder of what, if you can't do it, just let me know and I'll help you get in there. So if you go into the Life Mastery program, and then we're on health, which is actually the second, it's not the first one is intention, but you go to health, week one, and you'll see right under week one, there's downloads. So you can download the book, in digital form. You can download the MP3, but you have that on DVD, I mean a CD. But then there's the meditation transcript is there. And so if you download that PDF, you can print it out, and you'll have the written transcript of that meditation. And so then you can maybe start a daily practice of reading to each other. You know, and each week is a different meditation. So, you know, coming into week two, we're going into, the next meditation. So, you know, and they're all on one page, the way I have it laid out on Life Mastery. So in health, it'll be week one, week two, week three, you know, stacked on top of each other. So you can download those files and then print that out. And then you could start an added layer to your daily practice of reading to each other.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm gonna get Caroline to read to me, because I usually read. I'm the one that's usually reading out loud. But I'm going to get Caroline to read to
me. And there's something about Carl's voice. I mean, it's amazing. He starts reading, and I instantly, within minutes, start to fall asleep.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's a good thing.
And it's like the best sleep I ever get. It's like I just go into this total like meditation state, and it just lulls me right to sleep.
good deep sleep, huh?
Yeah. It was like, maybe I should be a hypnotist or something. Yeah.
There you go.
Put people to sleep all the time.
I think I might be able to do that to my wife also.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, the meditations are on the short side. So, you know, so we're not reading, it's not a long, you know, piece. You know, and also it's, you know, obviously with the meditation, you can read it at a slower pace, a slower tempo. You know, we're creating a state. You know, we're letting the words and the wisdom sink in, and we're creating a state. So we get this on a deeper level, and then, you know, it helps us with the life work, the exercises, and then sharing it with others. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I will, if you want, I will start working on recording as well and get those to you.
Well, we can probably just, you know, try this here. You probably wouldn't need to do all that work to record, I would think.
All right, try that first.
Well, let us know,
And let us know. And if not, then, you know, we'll go to the next piece of it. So, all right, let me just grab, let's see, today is the 7th, so next Thursday is the 14th, the same time on next Thursday. All right, so we're going into week two of health, and I look forward to hearing about your week and everything the Lord is doing.
Yes.
Yeah, life is great.
Life is great.
You're designing the life that you absolutely love living. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's very enjoyable.
It is enjoyable. All right, my friend. Good to hear your voice. Have a good week. You know, text if you need to. You know, and we're here.
Okay. Well, thank you, and you all do the very same thing. Have a great week.
We will.
Yes, thank
and
you.
I'm putting it
we
down.
Will.
I'm putting it down on my list of 50. We're going to be out there in September to hike with you.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
All righty.
All right.
Okay.
God bless.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye bye.